What's going on, Beacon League? We are here live for our third week of the podcast. Week three of the NFL action has come to a close, as well as week three of our Beacon League coverage. We're going to cover a whole bunch of stuff, the scores for this week, some of the takeaways from our matchups. We're going to do the interview for Mark, as he came in first place for scoring this week, and we'll also look into next week's matchup as well. So before we get into that, let's spin that intro. Beacon League Podcast, here we go. All right, fellas, what's going on, yo?
What's going on, brother?
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. Just had a successful week three. Came out with a win, so I'm doing pretty good.
Word. Jordan, how you doing, bro?
Bro, we good. We good on this side, bro. Half Chubb is 3-0.
Feel you. I'm in that club, too. I'm doing pretty
yes,
good.
Yes, sir.
Mark, how you feeling, bro?
It's your boy, out for the week, reigning champ.
This boy energy is different from last week, bro.
I can't say I didn't expect that out of you. All right, so Mark is here. Awesome. So we got the whole gang here.
Excellent.
So let me just go through real quick. We'll just do a quick recap of what happened in week three in the Beacon League. Let me just pull these matchups real quick. All right, let me see. Here we go. All right, so Big Dak Energy had the win over Brandon's team. Sid, you took down Mark O. By barely.
Yeah, there.
Barely?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to get back to you, Sid, in a second. But Honey Badgers moves to 3-0, taking down Chris and team the Todd Father.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Axelrod, you came away with a win, scoring over 200 this week. Congratulations.
You know,
Jordan with a pretty good win over, whose team is that? Oh, over Anley, 163 to 121.
Mm.
And Perry coming straight out of Jamaica with his first win of the season, 182 to 159
nice.
Over Tango. So before we continue, beats by DeAndre, what in the world? how are you feeling, bro, during this
listen
game?
Man, listen, so I was watching the Seahawks Saint game and Russell Wilson was first and goal with 0 seconds on the clock, and I have Tyler Lockett and Mark O picked up Will Disley off of waivers.
Yeah,
so you know, I'm hoping that this man Russell Wilson hits Tyler Lockett in the end zone or hits no one. Who did he hit? Will Disley. So now, I think I'm at like one. I'm in the 180s, along with Mark, and all I had left was, Baker Mayfield. So, I was actually on the phone with the Alpha.
Yeah.
During the last drive of the Browns game, and Baker Mayfield throws. A slinger to Jarvis Landry in the red zone. So at this point, I've already won. I'm at like 192 to 191. Yeah. I'm all set. This man Baker on four tries, thanks to my boy Freddie Kitchens' terrible offense, on the last play of the game throws a pick and has me lose a point. And then I'm on the phone with Mark Axelon. He's like, yo, buddy, you lost. And I'm going, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm going crazy. And I look at it, and I'm up by a point, I think, 20. And, you know, so since Sunday night, I kind of just been, you know, waiting in my room like a crackhead, making sure the adjustments didn't.
Because
I was on the losing end of the adjustments last year. So
right.
I don't feel bad for you, Marco. I need a beef by DeAndre. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a crazy. I'm going to count that as one of your biggest takeaways of the week. But we'll go to Mark. Mark, what do you think was one of the biggest takeaways from this week's action in Beacon League?
I mean, for me, it's the regression of Enley's team, because Enley has always been a guy that, you know, even if not drafting, he'll always pick up great guys in free agency out the waiver wire. Yeah. And you watch it this year where he had a terrible draft, and now with it being a super flex, there's less talent sitting there in the waiver, and it's shown that it's shown its reflection. And the other thing too that I, you know, right now, me and Jordan was talking about it earlier. He's fighting for that 11th spot. You know, yeah. he better hope Chris don't disappoint him. And the other thing too, it's like, I don't know what's going on with football this year. I was telling the guys earlier, you got the 49ers, the Lions, and the Bills are undefeated. And you got the Battle of the Baldies of 2018, number one and two. I don't know. This is unusual.
I feel you on that. Jordan, what was your biggest takeaway from this week in Beacon League?
So it's not too much of a takeaway, but I'm just happy that my boy Perry got his dub this week.
Nice.
Perry's team always looks really good on paper, always projected really well, but they were underperform during week one and two. And I just feel like it wasn't a proper reflection of what Perry's team looks like this year. So Perry scored 182 against Kango's 159. I felt like that was more of a true to form scoring for what Perry's team actually has in store. He made a couple trades. He made a trade actually already with Tyler this week, and he traded away LeSean McCoy and T.Y. Hilton, and was able to get Chris Godwin and Will Fuller, which I actually like that trade for Perry, because that shores up his receiver position. Chris Godwin, I've been a big fan of him. It's unfortunate that he didn't score as well this week while Jameis Winston was actually being a competent quarterback. But there's definitely better games down the road for Chris Godwin. Will Fuller, I'm sure our alpha will attest to this. He's gonna put up some points some weeks, but he'll definitely break your heart in week 8 and on.
Exactly.
Yep.
Big shout out to you, Perry. I know Perry's always an avid listener of the podcast, and he's been waiting for some recognition. Here it is, yes. Bro. You've been recognized. Keep it up.
Sitting at number 7 right now in the standings and got his first win of the year on the board. My biggest takeaway, just to add to, I know I kind of lead it off, led off with yours, but that game for you, I think that's a bigger win than you realize. Because I'm looking at the standings, you're sitting at 5th right now with 501 points on the season, and you played Mark O, who has 498 points on the season, but he's 0-3. Yeah. So I feel like that win that you got could have put you at 1-2, and pretty much in that same area where Chris O is. So
yeah, that's definitely.
In the standings, I know it's early in the season, but that win was pretty big considering the records and the point how close you and that team are with points wise.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you snuck out of there with a W, bro. I was sweating too, bro. So here goes Sid, never gonna treat you with now. You about to be a sucker. But all right, cool. So another thing I wanted to touch on today in the podcast was all of these. We talked about the QB injuries in the NFL, but I wanted to talk about the impact of the backup quarterbacks that are actually having, like, putting up significant fantasy numbers across the board. Like, I don't even know how to attack this one, but what do you think? Is it just, you guys think it's like a league-wide thing where it's just quarterbacks are getting better, or do you think that the offenses are more open up so that they can work on this? Because there's tons of them out there, and it affects our league, of course, because we have a super flex now. So Jordan, how do you feel about the impact of all these quarterbacks coming out of nowhere?
So first off, when we decided to go to a Superflex or a WQB league as we were this year. The intent was because there were so many quarterbacks that were viable. It would just figure that this year, when we finally make the switch, is when the quarterbacks go from the deepest to the most shallow. So that's making, but I think it's exciting because we just saw a trade today for Mason Rudolph. In what fantasy league would we have been excited about trading for Mason Rudolph?
Right, exactly.
You know, but that's the kind of energy, me personally, I wanted. Guys like that become more valuable. I think guys like Mason Rudolph, Daniel Jones, Kyle Allen, I think they're seeing success in the league right now because whenever you put that backup quarterback in, a good offensive coordinator simplifies the playbook. He gives him a handful of plays that are surefire plays, somewhat easier throws, and you focus more on the fundamentals of the game. So the game slows down for these guys and they are able to succeed. Whereas you take someone like Pat Mahomes, you could throw the whole book at him and he's going to make all the throws. His backup might not be able to do that. So I think you see some success in that regard. I know Doug Peterson has always been a big fan of that. When Nick Foles came on board that Super Bowl season, that playbook was about half the playbook that Carson Wentz had. And it worked out because he has less to worry about. But from a fantasy perspective, I love it. Like I said, guys like Mason Rudolph and Daniel Jones are big ticket items now. Whereas if we didn't have the super flex, they'd probably still be on the waivers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, I know you got some stock in this question because your boy Kyle, I was about to say Ryan Allen, Kyle Allen over there, getting you W, something that your boy couldn't do. But, how do you feel that these backup quarterbacks are affecting fantasy, good or bad?
Yeah, I think we're doing what a lot of people do during football season. A guy has one good game and everybody jumps in his bandwagon, you know. It's easy for you to light it up when they don't got film on you. They don't know what's coming from you. You don't have a defensive coordinator game planning for you. The defensive coordinator game plan for one guy and, you know, he's seeing something else. But I'm sure after two or three games when they got film on you, then, you know, it's not the first time. You look at, what was the guy that used to be in Green Bay that had two good games?
Oh, Matt Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah, there
he goes. You guys catch me? Okay, yeah, sorry about that. You look at the guy that was in Green Bay that everybody thought he was going to be, you know, the next Tom Brady because he had three good games. I think his name was like Matt Flynn or something. There's been countless of guys like that who, because they played two or three good games, Ryan Fitzpatrick, same thing too. That's a guy who's a backup. But listen, the guy has three good games. All right, we got ourselves our new Peyton Manning. In all these backup quarterbacks that we've seen play this season, I was least impressed with Rudolph because he was missing some pretty easy throws. He was looking like Cam Newton, to be completely honest, an injured Cam Newton. And the person I'm mostly impressed with, there's only one backup, is the kid with the mustache from Jacksonville. That's a guy who's played multiple games now, a couple games, but still, I'm not ready to go, I'm going to go all in on him on fantasy football. You look at a guy like Tyler, who picked up Kyle Allen after he had one good game versus a crappy defense that Arizona have. So, I'm sorry. I think we should pump our brakes and let these guys prove themselves.
I guess so. Bringing the fire, my dude. Not messing with you. Oh, by the way, his name is Gardner Minshew. Don't get it
twisted. That's my boy.
Okay, he's not just some dude, okay? That dude is a
warrior. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's the only one that's been playing well. Nick Foles got Nick Fold.
Nick Folded. Oh, shit. He's dropping the rhymes out here, too. Now, okay. Sid, how do you think this is affects you? Because I was looking at your team after we made that trade. I was like, yo, this dude got four QBs on the roster. And that, yes, in any other league, obviously, that looked insane. But
yeah,
how do you think these QB tamer options are affecting?
I agree with Mark in the fact that you can't buy into these dudes off games that people, you know how it is, man. You prepare for Cam Newton, you prepare for Big Ben, and then you got two completely new faces that come in. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like that translates more on the actual football field than fantasy. because honestly, in fantasy, that what makes it weird, you don't have to, the quarterback doesn't have to, it's like light it up to actually be a good fantasy option for you.
Right.
I remember a couple years back when Colin Kaepernick's best fantasy year was when the San Francisco 49ers were like 3-10. You know what I mean? Like he was rushing for like, you know, 70 yards a game, throw one or two TDs. They were losing by like at least 20 points a game. So when you look at fantasy, a couple things I look for in my quarterback, which I liked about Daniel Jones, is that he runs the football sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I picked up Mason Rudolph based off, I like his matchup versus the Bengals. It's at home. I mean, you really got to, if you're going to get one of these new QBs, like I agree with Mark in the fact that, you know, it might not be a long-lasting thing, but that's the thing about fantasy, and that's what's made this year so exciting, is that last year we got to pretty much ride one quarterback throughout an entire season, maybe just switching up once or twice for a bye week or an injury. But now you kind of got to really do your research and look at matchups. You got to make calculated guesses week by week on what quarterbacks to start, on trades, injuries. I picked up Daniel Jones week two when I heard rumors of Eli getting benched. Now, if my boy Enley would have picked up Daniel Jones and not Eli Manning, he might be sitting in a different spot right now. So, like I said, it's a week-to-week thing. It's fantasy football. You know what I mean? It's not I see the way Mark's looking at it, but I think he's looking at it a little bit too literal and not fantasy value, because those are two, I think, fantasy value and the actual quarterback value for a franchise.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You get points in fantasy based on what happens on the football field, right?
Lose or win, yes. But Daniel Jones got, 40 point.
All right. Mason Rudolph had a terrible game. Let's see what he does. It's a long season.
Okay, but you said Mason Rudolph had a terrible game. He put up 20 points. And that was probably the worst we're going to see him play, hopefully. I heard he had a terrible first three quarters, and he still ended up slinging for two touchdowns. That's what I'm saying. Fantasy value is just a little bit different than actual on-the-field value. I agree with you, but at the same time, I think, like I said, I wouldn't buy in, you know, Daniel Jones is the future, Mason Rudolph is the future, but now we're at a point where the QB well is dry. You got to make calculated guesses.
Yeah, I agree, because I was thinking of it earlier. I'm like, you could lose a game based on, like, you know how people go off on your bench, like week one, week two, somebody random you know, lights it up on your bench. I have been playing fantasy sports since 2009, I think, and I'd never had to think about, like, oh, dang, I hope my third quarterback doesn't blow up on my bench. Like, what? And, like, maybe, like, what? This is crazy. Like, I love it personally. Yeah. Like how you really got a scheme now. Like if you don't
it
have,
really is.
I mean, for my case, I like to think I have two pretty solid quarterbacks at that spot. But even if I didn't, I would like the challenge of like seeing like, okay, let me look at this quarterback matchup and see who I can plug in at that flex.
Exactly.
Or does he have a really bad matchup and I need to put a wide receiver at my super flex? You know what I mean? Like, I love that challenge of that adding into the league, and it just makes it better that, not better, but some of the big name QBs are getting hurt, and now all these young guys got to get thrown in, and then you really got to look at matchups and stuff. So it keeps it nice and competitive. But
I think it's definitely going to even have more of an impact as bye weeks start rolling in.
Oh man,
today I sat down, I looked ahead at some of my bye weeks, and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna have to start a running back at my flex.
Eventually,
you know. So it's like there, guys. I agree with both Mark and Sid. I do agree with Mark in the sense of there's a lot of hype surrounding a lot of these guys. They're very average quarterbacks. Don't let that fool you. But I also agree with Sid in the sense that it's fantasy football. It doesn't matter if he was just a grocer that was throwing the ball. If he's a grocer that's throwing touchdowns, I don't care. You know.
But,
so that's why I think it's going to have more of an impact during the midseason.
Absolutely. All right, good. So we got the QB QB controversy. We're moving on to our next topic. We want to hit on Beacon League 2's Baldy of the Year, which was the Honey Badgers, who's managed by Ty Little. What's up, Ty? Hope you listen to the podcast. T.Y. Jelly. So, listen, he's right now ranked number 2 in the league, right? He has, how many points? He has 551 points. He's 3-0, and he's number 2 in the league, right in between me and Jordan currently. That's coming off of last season and coming into this season being 3-0. Is the Honey Badgers a true contender in the Beacon League? Mark, I'll start with you.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Like, I'm nervous to play the Jordan. My thing is, not top. No offense, Jordan's only one that I feel like doesn't belong in it because he has the lowest point. You look at Jordan, if he loses one game, he falls down to 5 or 6. Not taking shot at you, bro. It's just when you look at the numbers. Now, if T.Y., I would T.Y. was at his position because of the matchups he's had, then, you know, let's say he's played three weak teams, and that's why he's 3-0. I'd say it's one thing. But when you look at a guy who's 3-0, and you look at the point spread, he has some of the, if I'm not mistaken, he's either the top scorer or the second top scorer on the day. And right now, in my opinion, Drew and T.Y. are the top two guys to be worried about in the league right now.
Okay. Sid, what do you think?
Do I think Honey Badgers is a contender? Yes, I do, because I look at his team. It's very well balanced. When I was in the draft, I wanted, in the second round, I planned for Mike Evans, but I really wanted Keenan Allen. He has Lamar Jackson, Keenan Allen. He has Tyler Boyd, who's flourishing without A.J. Green in that lineup. He's starting McLaurin this week, who hasn't, I don't think he scored below 17 points for the Redskins. He's pretty much the Redskins' only playmaker. He traded for McCoy, which he's going to do good for now until Damian Willis comes back. Leonard Fournette hasn't even had a breakout game yet, so you know that's coming. T.Y. Hilton, good receiver. He has Montgomery on the bench. Melvin Gordon comes back, we're all done. And this is all without Saquon Barkley. And we're game planning for it. So, yeah, Tyler has a really good team. I would be shocked if he doesn't make it into the top 4. But, you know, it's still early. But as of right now, even with the injury to Saquon Barkley, yes, I do think he's a contender.
Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, so I agree. I definitely think Tyler's team is a contender. You'd be foolish to say anything otherwise, honestly, in my opinion. I think I'll just be the only one to speak on something negative. I have concerns about the longevity of his team, seeing as when bye weeks start rolling in, he doesn't have a deep bench. He has guys that are in, like, you got Saquon Barkley, who's injured. DeSean Jackson is a question mark as far as when he's coming back. Melvin Gordon's a massive question mark because even when he does come back, we don't know what his role is going to be because Austin Eckler has been lighting it up. David Montgomery, he's kind of starting to shape up to not be the running back that most thought he was going to. He's a good running back, but he's not that RB1 that a lot of people were hoping to. So looking at his bench, I'm concerned for his bye weeks. But when it comes to his starting team, yeah, that team is for real. Lamar Jackson is legit. I don't care what anyone says. That boy is on fire right now. I do think Tyler's team is a legit contender. I'm interested in seeing how he makes adjustments for all of his bye weeks.
Gotcha. So my take on it, I do think Tyler's team is a contender. I'm just a little – I can't quite say that his team is a contender for a Beacon League Super Bowl championship just yet. My only reason for saying – well, there's a couple, but one, obviously we haven't seen Tyler be a manager at this level at any point. Like, this is his breakout managerial draft. Like, this is, like, his – so far what we've seen, like, his ceiling, right? This is the best we've ever seen him perform.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm looking at, he has obviously has the second most, is it? Yeah, second most points in the league. But I'm looking at his points against right now. It's 396. So the rest of the, just to put it into perspective, the rest of the league, 497, 420, 486, 534. So it's all in the fives and fours. His is 396. So within his first 3 weeks of matchups, he's beaten Mark O, who's 3-0. Mark O, who's 0-3. Then he beat Brandon's team, who's 0-3. And then just now, he beat the Todd father, who's Chris's team, who's 1-2. So that's the number nine team, the number 10 team, and the last team in the league that he's played so far. Now, Brandon,
but he's putting up points on them.
Huh?
He's putting up points on them.
That's what I was just about to say. He's putting up points. I understand that. And the numbers are the numbers. I just want to see how his team stacks up against another team that actually puts up points, because we haven't seen that through 3 weeks. He's played bottom of the barrel teams for what we've seen so far. Now, I'm not saying that he's not a contender. This team is good. He's really good. He's going to be in the playoffs. He's going to be battling. I just need to see another week or two of this level of performance out of his team before I say, oh, yeah, he's definitely ready to take on a championship. That's just me, but I'm looking at the numbers. And I'm like, I don't know yet.
I'm loving this podcast.
I agree, because we got to remember, points aren't everything. W's are everything. You can get lucky. Look at Chris. Chris got all the way to the championship last year off of literally just beating every single team on their worst weeks. It doesn't matter. So that's why I say, yeah, the points are a factor, but you want dubs. And I agree with Drew. We want to see if he's going to be able to keep these dubs up as he goes against teams that put up more than 185 points.
Exactly. Like Mark, to your point, he's putting up the points. Don't get me wrong, but it's his team has to continue to put up those points, and the competition he's playing has to stay as low as it's been. And I don't know if that's
obviously, I like this,
that's not going to happen, but is Tyler's team going to, you know, rise up to that occasion and keep that spot?
This, man. We getting testy in week 3. Let's go.
That's good. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, he went from Baldy to getting his own segment in a podcast. So
exactly.
You're doing something.
Shout out to you, Ty.
Own segment, and he didn't get either of the awards. So
yeah.
You love here, bro. All right, good. So the moment we've all been waiting for.
I'm signing.
Actually, none of us have been waiting for this. It's just Mark. So... Mark Axelon, the reigning champ. We want to congratulate you on getting Alpha of the Week for week 3.
Yay.
are you still there, bro?
I'm still there. I'm right here.
You just let it soak in, huh? I feel you. All right. So this is your first time breaking the 200 point mark this season. What was your plan going into this week, coming off of that tough loss you took to Enley, or win? That's just, what'd you do? You won or lost?
I lost to Enley, but you know.
Okay, after that tough loss,
I mean, going into the week, at the end of the day, I knew I couldn't afford to lose that game, because once you go under 500. It's a uphill battle you don't want to be fighting, because you start making moves. Because the thing about fantasy football, you got to be able to make moves calm, collected. You don't want to be making moves out of fear.
Yeah.
And once you get to the point where you have that low of points, then you start making moves out of fear. So I was very happy about the fact that I was able to get that win, because like Jordan said, me and Kendall have been two guys that have always – done well. I mean, at least from the 2018 season, we both had a really good season.
Yeah.
And I knew, from he had already won an alpha this week, and I just thought maybe that last week that he lost the second week was just an off week for him, and it worked out. I knew it was going to be coming from the receiver position. I was telling Drew, our great friend Marcus McCray gifted me Marvin Jones for Adrian Peterson, and Jones hasn't been doing well at all this season. He's been sitting on the bench. I'm sure that's probably why Marcus got rid of him. Even on my bench, he was sitting there. But I just looked at the matchup, and I knew the Philadelphia Eagles were a battered team right now, and something just told me it just told me just put him in. Mm-hmm. Credit the guy that I took out to put him in also put up 25 points also on my bench. So, but you know, a guy like Miko Hardman also, which you know, me every year for fantasy football, I prey on the guys that are not big names, that are defenses are not going to game plan for, but that are good, that are going to put up a number. Sadly, after a year or two, these guys will become star players, and then people start drafting them away from you. But Miko Hardman was one of those guys this year where I was just like, all right, Tariq Hill is gone, which I wasn't too happy about, but I was okay with it because I felt like he would do well for me. And so far, the kid hasn't let me down. Every week that I start him, he does well. When I bench him, he does bad. So he was really good. Brandon Cooks put up 21 points also for me. So I knew Chris Carson has been having a rough patch. All I needed was for McCaffrey to have an a standard out of this world game for McCaffrey and get. And I knew I was gonna come out of top. And poor Kendall, he's gonna under 500. But we're moving on to the Badger.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts. That's a pretty good game plan. So, after obviously coming off of your Super Bowl championship last year, what was your game plan heading into this year's draft? Now sitting at 2-1.
Can you say that again, please?
So, what was your game plan heading into the draft before the season started?
Going into the draft, man, realistically, I thought I was going to get the guys I've had for, you know, the last 3 years of me doing fantasy football. I was looking at guys like Tariq Hill, Kels. These were the cornerstone guys of my team. But the one thing, my draft started with Christian McCaffrey. I'm a firm believer. In order for you to do well, and I noticed that from my championship run last year, you need a running back that's going to sit there and that's going to really take over games. And realistically, I knew this year with everything Zeke had going on off field, I didn't feel like Zeke was going to be that guy this year. And I knew even if he comes back with Dak also playing for a contract, that's going to take away from Zeke's shine. They drafted that kid Pollard. So Zeke... It's even you see it now, like that kid Pollard put up 100 something yards the other day, you know. Yep. So it's a split backfield in Dallas. And you look at Saquon, I just knew as much as everybody was saying Saquon was, you know, I'm not saying he's not the best running back in the league, but he's just the best. He's a great player in a terrible situation. But looking at McCaffrey, that's when I decided to make that trade for him. With the pick that I had, I knew that the 12 and 13th pick carried. And I knew I'd find one person who would look at draft stock value, would let me get a top three pick. And it just happened that Perry, first person I tried to trade with, I tried to trade with Sid, who turned me down. I tried to trade with Perry, and come to find out, if Sid did approve my trade, I would have fell flat on my face because Perry wanted McCaffrey at 3. But then I called my man Drew, and it made sense. I was like, hey, listen, got a dope pick, and I got two great picks. Let me get your one dope
and two great picks. I remember you called me right before my meeting. I said, bro, can I just tie my tie, bro? Like, what are you doing?
I'm going to regret giving Mark Axelon a compliment. But yeah, the same thing I told you, Drew, last week when you went and drafted people that you believed in, like Julio Jones, who was like your favorite player.
Yeah,
I respect managers who go after people not only that they like, but that they know is going to perform. So I did respect the fact that Mark traded his picks to go get a guy that he really did believe in, and it's paying dividends for him. So I respect that.
Yeah, absolutely, bro.
That trade happened, and you know, and he hasn't let me down. Even the last year, he gave me a mere 7 points, but. Hey,
that happens, man.
Yeah, you get weeks like that.
Everyone has that.
I got my running back of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so you got a real big matchup coming up this week. We hit on it a little bit earlier, but number two ranked team, Honey Badgers. How big of a win would this be for you if you're for your team early on in the season, being the number two team?
It'd be huge because looking at that game, it's a game that potentially, where if I beat him and Jordan loses, propels me into the top two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game also, if I lose, I could end up south of the top five. If you look at the standing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of there's a lot at stake. And yeah, he doesn't have son, but you look at, you know, you got your kid like Kyle Allen, who had a good game last year. He picked them last week. He picked them up. You also look at, you know, his team. It's just not a terrible team. He has talent across the board. And what makes me more nervous is even last year in my championship, I barely beat Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I snuck one on Monday night because Quan Alexander missed the tackle.
I'll never forget it.
So, and if Quan Alexander made that tackle, I would have been the one team that lost to him last year. So there's a lot at stake. He has a very talented team this year. It's like him and Drew went into like off-season training for this year. So
yeah, I was shook, bro. I wasn't letting that happen again.
So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out for me.
All right, bro. I appreciate your candid answers. And again, congratulations on getting out for the week.
Congratulations,
we'll be back next week. We'll be back next week. We're keeping it in the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, I'm with it on that. It's his turn.
We keep it in the podcast. So Jordan, back. Set your game up this week. actually, I need. So Sid, take this week. Jordan, you'll get next.
We'll see.
Man. Mark out here just assigning out alphas. All right, fellas. So before we wrap up, just real quick, just looking at this week's matchups coming up. Big Dak Energy facing the Todd Father, Mark O taking on Kango, Brandon's team taking on Sid's, Alpha of this week, Mark Axelon taking on the Honey Badgers, probably the matchup of the week.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Jordan taking on Kendall, and then this is actually a big matchup too. The 6-7 in the standings. Enly taking on Perry for that.
So a bye week for Perry. Can we just comment on Enly's team really fast?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Enly, I love you. You my boy.
But dear Lord.
You my brother. My guy. You have 2 49ers. You have, I don't know, 10 Jets. And you're you picked up Eli. Jimmy Graham is questionable. Vance McDonald is in a sling today. And the Steelers just traded for Nick Vanette. I'd feel bad for you. But like my boy Mark said, why did you draft 3 Jets?
Yeah.
I have to know. And 2 of them being receivers. I have to know. Hopefully we get that answer next week.
Bro, you know what? I just peeped too.
What?
His this matchup, it says Perry's projected to win by 91%.
Oh boy!
But yeah, if you ask Enly, it's the waiver's fault. Okay,
exactly,
Enly, man.
So he has a 9% chance of winning, and he still got Antonio Brown on his roster.
Enly, hit me up tomorrow, bro. I got 4 QBs, QB taper.
Bro, it's crazy. Like, look at his bench; they're all out. The entire bench is out.
And one of the problems he's having, he has no stock to trade for.
No.
And there's nothing left in free agency. And you look at what does he have he could offer?
He has to get rid of someone he needs, like Wentz, Fitzgerald, Bell, or Michelle.
Honestly.
Those are only people.
Dude defeats a purpose.
No, exactly. His best bet is to try to get rid of Wentz and turn Wentz into like a couple guys. A receiver and another quarterback who may be just a step below Wentz.
You know,
Wentz, still go get yourself a free agent quarterback.
Even Wentz right now, he's not Wentz because that receiver core is hurt.
You got to look at, Mark, you got to look at the free agency right now. I mean, I'm sure, like, he's pretty low on he's pretty high on the waiver, so I don't think he's going to get Bridgewater. So who does that leave?
If I was right now, and Enly, I never steer you wrong. Go get the win, Haskins.
Yeah.
No, he's already taken. He's taken, bro.
Who picked him up?
Honey Badger.
Tyler. Bro, the only QB available right now is Bridgewater, Rosen, and Taysom Hill. Are the top 3. I guarantee you he won't get him because I know a few people have put waivers in for him.
Yep.
And Enly, let me see. Let's look at where Enly is on the waivers.
He's number six.
He's number six. So that's five people he has to worry about that picked up Teddy Bridgewater after Teddy Bridgewater just came off of a win. So,
ouch.
I don't know.
Ouch. We'll see tomorrow, man. I'll tell you this. Like Mark said, a lot of people are going to be in desperation this week with their trades. So,
we're
going to see.
Even that, that can't go Mark O matchup too. Somebody about to start panicking.
Someone's going to panic.
Can't go to the fifth man again. But
if Mark O doesn't in 3F next week, then he needs to move on to the 2020.
Facts.
I know he should have kept the 2020 picks that he got from
Mark.
I mean, that he took from Kanko. Oh shoot! But all right, so hopefully
good episode, guys.
Up. Hell yeah, absolutely. Whole bunch of action coming up week four. Some good matchups, some might be some blowouts, but we'll handle that on the next podcast. Sid, thank you for joining.
Yes, sir.
Jordan, thank you for tuning in, bro.
Yo, no doubt. Just a FYI to the listeners, there may be a podcast bye week. Hello. As two of your podcasters will be out of town.
Yes. So we might. It might be a bye week. You never know. Maybe we'll pop off and surprise y'all with something. We don't know.
We'll see.
But we're going to work.
Yeah, but we're going to be out. So just be prepared either way. And then last but not least, Mark, Alpha of the Week.
Oh!
Thank you for tuning into the podcast, bro. We appreciate you.
It's your boy, you know.
Yo, all right, I got to get out of here, bro.
All right, man. Well, guys, good podcast. Beacon League, we will catch you either next week or the week after. This is Drew. With Beacon League, and we will see you guys soon. See ya.
Rennie Champ out.